Welcome to Tad Special, your regular guide to summer break racing this week in Tasmania.
And a very good morning, Colin McNiff with you to look at what's been happening thoroughbred-wise in Tasmania. A couple of meetings through the week, some very good racing in Launceston on Wednesday night, and that was followed up by a Twilight meeting in Hobart on Friday. No races today, but we're going to talk Magic Millions first up because the sale will be on us before we know it. Comes up on February the 12th, the Magic Millions yearling sale down here in Tasmania. A lot to talk about between now and sale time. It looks like being a beauty this year. And Tim Brown from Magic Millions is going to join me first up on the program. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Colin.
Thanks for your time. It does look like a pretty good catalogue that is going to come forward this year.
Yes, it's turned out far better than we envisaged. After last year's numbers had dropped, I wasn't quite sure how we were going to go, but we've catalogued 121, and I'm extremely pleased with the quality.
There's going to be a couple of interesting lots, as there always is, but one in particular is a youngster by Sapphire V from Private Nib, making it a three-quarter brother to the horse that everybody knows from Tasmania called the Cleaner.
Yes, very much so. He's a lovely type, big, skokey individual, and I've really got to thank his owner, Ian Crease, for selling with Magic Millions in Tasmania. He had the choice of going to a couple of other venues, but true Tasmanian that he is, he said he'd sell, as it's one of the work he's last as well in the Tasmanian sale.
It's been one of the sad things in the past couple of years, hasn't it? The death of Sapphire Vive had really established himself as an outstanding sire down here.
Very much so. I mean, those horses are very hard to replace.
Kim, you've been out and about, as you always are, with your job with the Magic Millions, and you've been up to the Hunter Valley and found a couple of horses that hold a special place to Tasmania.
Yeah, it was very interesting this week. We went up to the Magic Millions crew and we looked about at 450 yearlings in 3 days. But we came across the Medaglio d'Oro out of Lady Lynette in the Barrymore draft. First foal and a very good colt. Super.
Mm.
And then down the road to Glastonbury, right, the next day we saw the Statue of Liberty out of Hawkins Nancy. Who's a fine individual, and he's in the second part of the sale, but he will have a lot of admirers. So all these people who say that Tasmanian breeders only stay in Tasmania, the toughness of these horses is obviously being well reciprocated by people in the Hunter Valley as well to take an interest in the mares.
Yes, I'd imagine the Lady Lynette youngster will create a lot of interest right around Australia, but particularly down here to see what sort of a price that horse can teach.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to ascertain a figure at the moment, but he had a lot of admirers, just not myself, but the whole team that were there. I thought he was just an outstanding first foal, plenty of scope, good mover, and a quality individual.
Mm. One of our leading breeders down here, of course, Tim, is Graham McCulloch, and he's been meeting with a bit of success in recent times from some of the horses that have come out of Grenville Stud.
Yeah, he's having a good run, Graham. He had Mongolian Khan win in New Zealand last weekend, and looks as if he'll definitely want to be considered for New Zealand Derby. And then, of course, one of the best probably sire left in Tasmania at the moment, West Quest, had a good winner with Valiant Warrior, who won the Heskett McKinnon Cup in midweek. So, No, Graham's. He's producing plenty of winners, and anybody who sees the West Quest yearlings this year cannot be failed to be impressed by them.
Now, we'll be talking more about that meeting in a moment with Greg Mansfield, and unbeaten five starts for five wins, Valiant Warrior. Look, some of the horses that have gone through the sale in recent years and are stakes winners, of course, the Cleaner, Lady Lynette, Triple Asset, Like a Class, Like a Carousel. We've also got some catalogued half or three-quarter relations to the very good Black and Tough, as mentioned, the Cleaner, Triple Asset, 20 grand. The people I've spoken to, Tim, say this is the best catalogue that we've had for some time in Tasmania.
I'm hoping so. I've seen them, and it's very easy to just look at a catalogue and say they're good, but I've seen them a couple of times now, all of the stock, and I'm very happy. I've probably got to thank my predecessor, Tony Williams, and Brett Williams, who did a lot of work over the years and told people that the game had to be lifted. If you're not breeding something that people want, don't breed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Tasmanian breeders have done an outstanding job. in providing this crop for this year.
Time will tell. We'll be looking at the Magic Millions over the next couple of months leading up to the sale that comes up, as mentioned, on the 12th of February. Tim, thanks for your time. Have a Merry Christmas, and we'll chat with you, no doubt, in the new year.
Thank you very much, Colin, and the same to you.
Tim Brown joining us from Magic Millions, just repeating that sale down here in Tasmania. It's right throughout, right in the middle of the Summer Racing Carnival on February the 12th. It's Greg Mansfield joins you. Morning, Greg.
Morning, Colin.
Looking forward to the sale. It's always something a little bit unique down here in Tasmania.
Well, it is. It's an event that really decides the fate of the people for the next 12 months, isn't it? A lot of professional breeders, and we don't have a lot of them, but some of them. So it's very important for them, and I think it's important for the industry. We need to get a lot of yearlings through, so we've got a good crop of two-year-olds the following season.
Let's take a look at the racing from through the week and Wednesday night in Launceston. We might just talk about the feature races firstly, and Tim just mentioned Valiant Warrior being by West Quest, bred by Graham McCulloch. It's trained by Adam Trinder. It's had five starts. It's unbeaten. It was going around against the very best, Admiral and GG Double J. They were the three that punters thought would fight out the race, and that's exactly how it turned out in a three-year-old cup.
It was as good a three-year-old cup as I can remember in recent years. A very strong race, and the fact that Valiant Warrior was able to beat them. After looking probably under siege in the home straight, Admiral certainly looked like he was going to win when he loomed up on the home turn, but of course he was first up. Valiant Warrior had a little bit of an edge in race fitness, plus a 3 kilogram pull in the weight, so it was a good battle between those two, and of course GG's Double J kept battling on the inside and was only beaten a half length of the finish. No, three outstanding horses. We knew that before the race. And I don't think a horse called Cole's Hero, who ran fourth beaten a length after copping an early check, is that far behind them.
Now, look, he's been going okay, Cole's Hero, in recent time. He was coming off a pretty good trial behind Gigi's Black Flash going into that race, and he ran right up to that performance. He started at $30, and I think he'll be $30 next time he steps out, no matter what sort of a race it is. But you can take nothing away from Valiant Warrior, and Adam Trinder might be looking at a campaign or a race across in Melbourne for this youngster.
He is, apparently so, yes. A lot of these horses that go through the three-year-old cup, their automatic next target is the Tasmanian Guineas over 1,600, but I think Adam is leaning towards keeping this horse to shorter distances, Valiant Warrior. There is a 1,400-metre three-year-old trophy coming up in Launceston on Wednesday week. That's one option, but he might wait a few days after that and go to Mooney Valley, where he's got his eye on a 1,200-metre listed race, and that would probably be a nice
look. You mentioned Admiral, started the $1.90 favourite, came across the leader's heels coming around the home turn, looked to have them covered, but I think it's fair to say just pegged on its run, and the fitness may have told in the last 50 or 60 metres.
I'm quite prepared to think that. I mean, there were a couple of people who said that it was just maybe a fraction disappointing, but I think when you take into account the fact that it had the weight and the margin was very narrow and he was first up, but look, I couldn't take anything away from his run at all. I think he's going to be a major threat in anything they run him in, and just depending on how he goes, he's slowly going to work his way towards the Derby.
And Gigi's Double J drew the outside gate, did a lot of work in the first 200 metres or so to get him across Valiant Warrior, so the fact that that horse kept on coming when it could well have folded up over the last 100 metres shows that it's got some outstanding ability, and all three of them, I think, are in for a really good campaign.
They are, and I don't think the filly that finished fifth is going to be too far away in the better races either. Gigi's Golden Girl, she was only beaten a length and a quarter, so the race was just full of depth. Just Call Me Fritter ran sixth, wasn't that far away either, so a very good field.
Lots to form to come out of that particular race, no doubt. That was the three-year-old cup. That was followed up by the Conquering at Wait for Age over 1,400 metres, Banker Mo, Pitt Street. A couple of these horses were coming off good runs in the Newmarket Handicap. Royal Rapture was another one of those, but it was a horse that missed out on starting in the Newmarket Handicap, was kept for this race, and it was the old champ.
Well, it was a good training decision by John Luttrell, wasn't it? He just thought the edge might have gone off GG's Black Flash to the point where it wasn't much point going around in the Newmarket over 1,200. We're not waiting for this 1,400-metre weight for age. Let's face it, he's got about 7 or 8 kilos less at weight for age. He would have in a handicap, so he's beautifully placed. He was well ridden by Ziggy Cash. He just had a momentary point in the race there where she looked like she might have difficulty getting around, but once he got into the clear, he did what he always does, and that's charge home. Thought Pitt Street might have been out of pinch at halfway up the straight, and Banker Mo worked home nicely. He's now looking for further.
GG's Black Flash now within sight of that $1 million barrier, $986,000 in the bank.
Yes, there's a $100,000 race coming up called the Tasmania Stakes, which will be his next target. I'm not sure, well, certainly if he wins it, it'll be Paddy. He might even get enough money for running second in it.
Yeah.
So the way he's going, $1 million is certainly well within his sights.
Yeah, second prize money, $20,000, I think it is, in that race, so he wouldn't crack the million. But I just think maybe from a fairy tale point of view, you'd want to see him crash through the $1 million barrier by winning a race.
That's the way you'd like to see it, isn't it? And of course, for anybody who's listening and might not think that $1 million is quite so significant, the significance with this horse is that he has never left Tasmania, and no horse has ever won $1 million in Tasmania before.
No, and he would have won $1 million about 4 years ago had he left Tasmania. I don't think there's much doubt about that, because he could have won very good races elsewhere around Australia. We saw Bella Venus make it 3 in a row in race number 7. She's a nice type that Charlie Goggin and Luella Meeburn have got, and she just keeps on improving each time she steps out.
She does. She's a prime thoroughbred horse, and Joe O'Neill's been saying, even before she began her current preparation, that he had hopes that she'd measure up to the good fillies races, and she's done nothing wrong so far. She just keeps on winning, and fact that she beat a 150-1 pop called Before All, I suppose, might take just a little bit of the gloss off the win, but winners keep winning, don't they, regardless of what the opposition is.
And a nice type of horse that Tegan Keys trains won the last of the night. This was Sir Wansey, who was set out the $1.90 favourite.
Yeah, well, back pretty much a jump and run horse, isn't it? Just goes forward and keeps going, and he had a length to spare on the line over some useful horses in that benchmark 72 grade. Downwind, Vision of Beauty ran well. Prince Stratum was okay. Seven Falls ran into a little bit of bother at the 400, may have been a fraction disappointing, but yeah, it was a reasonable field, and this has got a big future, I think, Wansey.
Earlier in the night, we saw a horse called Lady Jane, second start, make it 2 out of 2. She looks a nice type of filly.
She did. She got a beautiful ride from Ziggy Carr, getting an inside run after sitting behind the speed. Two of my horses to follow from the race, from the meeting, were in this race, and they were the runner-up Stella Bell, who was wide all the way and still ran on very strongly, and the third place getter, Erin's Element, who was held up from the 500 to the 300 and also got to the line very powerfully. So I think they're 2 to 5, but they couldn't take anything away from the winner, and it was 550 into 350, some good money won.
Yeah, it was very well tried, there's no doubt about that. Bachelor's Life won the first at $26, led all the way. The second event was taken out by Sab Bridget, who started the $4.20 favourite and sat in second spot most of the trip, and it really dug deep in the last little bit to get up and win.
Yes, Sabrejet and the runner-up, a little more space than in this race. They were 6 lengths in front of the rest. One of the ones in the betting lead, John, who finished at the rear of the field at $4.40, jockey Ziggy Carr, reported that she felt something was wrong with him. The vet couldn't find anything afterwards, but we might have to put a line through that run.
Did I mention the winner of race number 4, because I think you backed it.
I did, and so did half the punters in Australia. About the ticket, they bet something like $6.50, plenty of $6 available early in the night, started $3.80 favourite. Didn't look to be in all that good a place in the run, but he was just too good for those. That was a very winnable race for him, and he came away and scored easily.
What are your horses to follow from Wednesday night?
Well, the two I mentioned a moment ago are certainly two, and that is Stella Retrial and Erin's Element. Later on in the night, Cole's Hero, I think he's going to win plenty of races in the right grade, and the one you mentioned, Wansey, I think it'll just keep winning.
I thought Gigi's Baritone, from one that was beaten, might be one to follow. Didn't have much luck in the home straight, had a checkered path. I think Bella Venus's run was very good. It was taken on and won, as you say, it only beat a bolter, but the way it did, it was very good. And I think Banker Moe and Iggy McCool are probably looking for further now than those 1400 metre races, so when they step up to 16 and beyond, I think they'll both be winning races.
Definitely, and one I didn't mention earlier in the night, it was a very easy favourite, a horse called Princess Royale, a stablemate of Venus, finished only fourth after leading at the top of the straight and hanging out. I think you'll find it was in need of the run, and will improve significantly at its next start or two.
Yeah, hadn't had a trial since coming down here to Tasmania, trained by Charlie Goggin, Luella Meeburn, and yeah, for sure and certain will improve. We raced in Hobart, it was a twilight betting on Friday, just looking at the feature races firstly, and the Alexandra Plate was the first of those, over 1,000 metres for the two-year-old. Gigi's Top Notch is stamping itself as the best early two-year-old in Tasmania.
Certainly, and in contrast to most of our star early two-year-olds, it's not just a jump and run filly, is it? It sort of settles off the pace and runs home strongly down the middle of the track, which is exactly what it did. Run very dramatically late in betting. There was plenty of even money available with a minute or two to go, and it started at $1.70, so whoever punters were of the opinion it would win, and it did nicely. The runner-up Brightness looks okay, and the third place getter Seorca didn't have the clearest of runs in the home straight, but don't think it was any match for the winner.
It was $2.36 early on Gigi's Top Notch, $2.38 of two Siorca and Gigi's Top Notch, and finished up $1.70 favourite Gigi's Top Notch, and Siorca got out to $3.30. So Putter certainly on the right foot there. It's had three starts. It has a win and two wins, and a runner-ups check, and I don't think as much doubt it should have won that first race as well. The Winsenberg Handicap for the Open Sprinters was the second of the feature races, and the Grand Tycoon, the two-year-old of the year from a couple of seasons back, has had some injury woes, but Barry Campbell got it back to the track, and gee, it finished powerfully to win.
He's a marvellous horse, Grand Tycoon. As a two-year-old, when he won seven of his eight starts, his trademark was the fact that he just used to stick his head out. Didn't always win by big margins, but he always won. Came back, had very limited racing as a three-year-old, won another three races, and then he had a bit of a problem with a bone chip in his leg and had to go for a long spell. He was out for 10 months. Now, if Punter's got it right in the two-year-old race on the program on Friday, they certainly got it wrong here, because Grand Tycoon was absolutely friendless in the betting. I noticed on social media that everyone wanted to lay it on Betfair. Got out to officially SP at $8.60, so that was a very generous price for a good horse. I know it was a good field, but it was still well and truly over the odds. The run-up, Merrick's Beauty, who's eligible for much easier races, was outstanding, finishing second only half a length away. And Hell of a Street, the Newmarket winner, dropping back to 1,100, probably not ideal for him. I think he's looking for a little bit further now.
Yeah, Merrick's Beauty, I think we named as a horse to follow a couple of weeks ago, stepped up into the silk department as they ran out of its skin there on Friday afternoon.
We did, and unfortunately now, when it does get back to the grade where it will win, we won't get on.
No, that's true. Ismail Toker had a good day. He rode three winners, the first of those being Lampo, who looked well in the yard and ran right up to those looks to lead all the way in the first.
There's a lovely looking horse, just bolted in, didn't it? Won by more than four lengths. Barry Campbell said before it had its first run when it ran okay, that he thought it wouldn't take long to win a race, and he was correct. Debauch, the runner-up, I thought was quite solid, but the margin was big.
Just quickly looking at a couple of other races and some horses I think are going to go on with it. Hyperbole won well in the benchmark 62 over 1,400 metres, making it two in a row. And Remeron also won the second heat of the benchmark 62 and made it two in a row. They both looked like horses you could follow.
You could. They were both pretty good each way odds as well for punters who were sticking with them. There were a couple of good runs in those races. I thought Don't Be Nasty was pretty good in Remeron's race, got very close on the line. And a stayer brought down by the Richard Stayer. Milson ran an improved race, former mainland horse. He might be capable of winning something over the carnival.
Yeah, got home very late along the rails. Have you got a horse or two to follow for Hobart?
Yeah, from that meeting, I thought Speed Buzz, who was running up in race two, it was very short, but it just got, well, taken on mercilessly in front. Did a good job to run second. Follow My Dust, who won with something in hand in race three. It was a pretty moderate race, but I think he's a horse with a future, and they're probably the best of them.
Yeah, I thought You Didn't was a nice run. It was the first starter from the Brunton camp, and it hit the line really nicely in the first race of the afternoon. Of course, Merrick's Beauty, just follow her wherever she steps out next time around. But as you say, we won't be seeing much of a price about her after that wonderful performance on Friday. We'll take a quick break. We've got a big day of harness racing coming up in Hobart.